Here we go, Pete. Are you ready? Stop pouring your beer. You've had enough alcohol for 1 year.
Well, that's a lie.
Could you go sober for a year, do you think?
Why would I want to?
Could you think you could?
Yeah.
No, you could. Not a chance.
Yes, I could. 100%.
No, not a chance.
Well, of course I could.
You love your evening beer.
And I also love the lunchtime and morning ones as well, but I don't understand what the point you're trying to make is. I could if I needed to.
Do you have a beer in the bath?
No, I tend to have wine in the bath.
You have wine in the bath?
Yeah, it just feels a little bit more sophisticated.
Whilst your bollocks are floating at the top.
Yeah, I mean, we did discuss this the other day. I like the fact that you're trying to now steal my jokes. However, yes, I have got to the age now where my bollocks are sagging. Basically, which effectively means that my cock looks like it's on a little bollock life raft.
Welcome to Staying Relevant, the podcast of Sam Thompson and Peter Philip James Wicks.
There is no Philip in my name.
Yeah, we call you Phil now.
We don't.
Yeah, we do. Us, the listener, call you Phil.
You're not the listener, you're the host. Just, I think that might be where we've been going wrong in the previous episodes, especially the Tom Grennan one.
I like that. Let's just, do you know what? Let's just get that. Let's have this right.
Okay, let's get this out of the way.
Yeah,
fucking god awful.
No, it wasn't. Let's have it out. Pete thinks that the Tom Grennan episode, the one we've just filmed last week, wasn't up to scratch. And he feels that we've let down Tom, which I completely disagree. I think we smashed it. And actually, it was one of the best interviews he's ever done.
Right. Okay, I'll tell you why it wasn't. We wasted a fabulous guest. Tom Grennan's amazing. Perfect person to have on. Had some great stories, but we didn't get to hear many of them because we heard yours.
What do you mean?
It was like interviewing someone who brought their brother along who just wanted to be involved.
But no, it wasn't. I think we had a really nice trifecta of bro.
I don't think we did at all.
I feel like we were all brothers.
I think that all you did was talk over him. I think all you did was tell us your stories, which we have heard a million times before, to the point where it actually sounded like Tom was just a listener on the podcast. It was like he was at home going, oh, yeah. Oh, did you hear what Sam's done? Yeah, that's good.
I thought the content was great.
And that made me quite angry, which meant that I just reverted into I'm down at the pub, pissed, and just swore at everyone and everything non-stop.
If I don't
so
mind you swearing.
I'm going to try not to swear today.
No, but that's not you.
Well, I've been told that I need to not swear, so I'm going to try not to swear. So I'm going to try not to swear. You're going to try not to talk over, only me, because there's no one else here, because after Tom Grennan's, it's unlikely we're going to get a guest ever again. I mean, the fact that we were struggling so hard to get a guest in the first place, when they listen to that, the maybes will soon be no's.
The oranges will be red.
The oranges will be red.
Well, I fundamentally disagree. I think we had a really good time, and I think Tom really enjoyed himself, and I feel like we're brothers for life. Yeah, I have, actually. I slid into his DMs.
Oh, you slid into his?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Have you spoken to him?
Yeah, he's messaged me a few times, yeah.
What did he say?
Well, he was in Australia after he left here, so he was just telling me how good Australia was and then saying that we need to go for a beer when we're back.
Yes! Come on!
Yeah, me and Tom.
Oh, when you say we, you mean you.
Yes, yeah, sorry, you're not.
Oh, right, okay. No.
I think it's just basically he just wanted to sort of speak. So I think that's probably why you're not invited.
I really enjoyed it. I think we had a really good time.
Well, no, you enjoyed it. Of course you enjoyed it. We could tell you enjoyed it.
I like the chaos. I think it was nice. I think it was cute.
No, it wasn't. It was the podcast equivalent of a fucking car crash. That's what it was.
We're still learning, Tom. Please don't hate us.
He doesn't hate us. Just you.
Oh, no.
I think we should discuss this guest situation in a little bit more detail.
Oh, God. Okay.
Because originally, when we had this kind of idea, we were going to get loads of guests on and we were going to be talking to them all about, you know, what they've done in their careers to stay relevant. And unfortunately, we've struggled to get guests, haven't we?
Yes.
And the one guest that we do have, you farted.
For I farted.
You spoke over him. I swore at him nonstop. And we fucked it.
No, that is debatable, but yeah, carry on.
So, we've tried to add even more names to the list of guests that we'd like to get on. I think last week I added, 15 to 20 names. So we've had another response.
Have we?
We have.
Yes.
There's been a number of responses, but this is my favourite one.
Tell me.
Because this is probably one of my idols of TV.
I know exactly who it is. Barry EastEnders.
No, it's not. Sean Williamson. That's his name.
Yeah.
He is now singing. He does a lot of sort of singing in Butlins and places like that.
Okay.
He does a great version of Labby Siffre song.
You are so beautiful.
No, that's not Labby Siffre.
Shoot. Who's your favourite? fuck off. Shut up.
Yeah, he said no.
Up. No.
So, highest staying relevant team. I have a long list of podcast requests to put to him. Thanks for this one. We'll add it on. Let you know if there's any interest. All the best. Now, I imagine a lot of people want on the podcast.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to make him, when he looks down the list of people that requested him, think, I want to do Staying Relevant with Sam and Pete?
Well, I think he's going to listen to our Tom Grennan interview and go, holy shit, that sounded like a ball of energy. I want some of that charisma in my life. And you know what? I'm going to tell people what I've been up to. He likes to jiggle jiggle. You know when he did that jiggle jiggle song?
I do. Yeah. And the girls that we did that with have actually done that with...
Yeah. So we've got an in.
Right, okay. The problem is that the girls have blocked us after that day because you were...
No. So me and Pete, a bit of context, me and Pete did a TikTok dance with some young, I think they're like 18 TikTok dancers. They're huge on that platform. So anyway, we get these girls round to my house and it's all quite nice and, you know, they're very shy, they're young. Pete scares the living shit out of one of them.
Do you want the truth?
No, yeah, I know the truth. We've got it on video.
Yeah, we have got
you
it on video.
You start shouting.
I'll tell you what.
And she covers her ears, right? She covers her ears and screams.
Yeah. I'll tell you what was cut out of that video, because obviously you are in charge of editing a lot of the videos, which means that they're always weighted to make me look bad. But the bit cut out was the creepy comments that you continually kept making.
Like what?
Haven't you got lovely eyes?
She did have lovely eyes. No, not even taking that back.
I mean,
lovely eyes.
The awkwardness that was apparent. And listen, I understand that you were doing it to make him feel more comfortable, but you came across a little bit predatory.
No, because I am a nice guy. I'm the guy that when you go, oh, you've got lovely eyes, they go, that is so nice. Thank you so much. There's no overtly sexual innuendo to it. It's just a guy being sweet. When you say it, it's literally like, oh,
but
God.
I don't say it. That's the difference, because I'm busy trying to learn the dance. The bit that you started saying, do you not get high in there? You can take it off. That
no,
sort of
okay, no, as if I never said that.
You did, because they were wearing hoodies and it was in summer. And even then, and they went, oh, no, we're all right. And I went, well, that was awkward, wasn't it? And they went,
I did.
I'm just saying, Sam, all right? So if we're going to start blaming people, but like
just...
I say, so I just want to point out as well, so when you do watch videos of Sam and it's always weighted towards me being a complete and utter prick, Sam's cut all the bits out that make him look bad. There is an awful lot there, though. If we could one day do a behind the scenes, and I know you take the piss that there might be a Netflix documentary about me coming soon, Pete Wicks, the Monster Inside, but I think the man behind the nice guy, Sam Thompson, could be the man behind the teeth.
Yeah, I was just trying to be nice, though. I want to get that out.
No, yes.
I didn't want to see what was underneath the hoodie.
Yeah.
I was just saying.
I do think the little bum slaps were a little bit too
far. Don't, because people are going to believe that now, and you're going to say things. No.
Okay, so we do it to me, but we can't do it to you.
It's because that's not true.
I'm just saying we can do it to me, but not to you. I mean, it's okay. Do you feel awkward now? Look how awkward.
No,
this
you're
is my
lying.
Favorite bit, because I'm really glad that the videos can see this, because, oh, yeah, two fingers up in the eye.
It's because people are going to believe that now. I'm going to go home and DM one of those girls. I'd be like,
don't start all that, mate.
I'm because, so sorry.
Yeah. How much will it take for you never to mention that?
Yeah. Your eyes are shit. I hate your eyes.
Out of court settlement.
Oh, no.
Anyway, let's move on, shall we?
Well, Pete, what have you done this week to stay relevant?
There's this wonderful event every year I go to.
Oh, Dogs Trust Award. Done. Pow.
No, it's not. I do go to that every year, and it's not called Dogs Trust Awards. It's called the People's Pet Awards.
People's Choice Awards.
No. It's almost like Tom Grennan's here, because you're just talking over people. No, it's called the People's Pet Awards. No, every year there's a... And it's one of the most magical nights, genuinely. It's Pride of Britain. Great night. Really, really good night. You get to meet some amazing people, really inspirational stories of people who deserve the credit that they don't normally get. So I go every year. Sam, you ever been?
No.
No, never been. However, I get a phone call from Sam this week after his BAFTA performance on the red carpet, saying, oh, been asked to work at the Pride of Britain. What are you doing at the Pride of Britain? Hosting the red carpet?
Yeah.
But you've never been?
Nope.
Nope. So I have been trying to do that for years. About 8 years now. I'm always there. I'm always very, you know, involved in it because I'd love to be involved in something as credible and amazing as that, and you know, be part of that. Sam, just yeah, pride of Britain. I'm saying yeah. I think I would do something on a red carpet. It's because Sam's now involved in this radio lark. You know, when everyone's off sick, which seems to happen a lot, which I seem to think that they're just shoehorning him in with Fleur East, because you're doing a fabulous job, Fleur. So now Sam's involved in that hierarchy of presenters. That's what I'd like to say, is the hierarchy of presenters. And so my statement of the moment is the fact that I realise that actually, at some point soon, Sam's probably going to leave this podcast because he's too big for it.
You are just a stepping stone, Pete, on the way to superstar. No, I would never. I can't even finish that sentence because if I ever got offered anything of note, you'd have to be there.
I will be there because actually, as it turns out now, the guy that I host a podcast with and work with on a regular occasion will be interviewing me.
Don't swear.
But what I will do is probably make it the hardest interview of your life.
No, don't do it. Don't do that. Don't be.
You know
one of
them ones where you watch someone interview people and they go, "So, you know, how are you? Good."
No. Don't do that.
Well, no, because we need to test your skills, don't we? So, do you, you know, what's your favourite kind of story of the night? They're all good.
No, don't be that guy. Actually, so my staying relevant story actually ties into that.
Everyone knows what you've done because you plastered it all over Instagram.
No, it's not that.
I was busy, unfortunately.
No, you said you were going to come and then you never turned up.
Yeah.
It's because Peter slept with half the room.
I was busy.
No, it's not. It's because there are at least three girls in there that you didn't want to see. Yes.
There were a lot of people there.
A
lot of people there.
Do you know what I've realised as well about those places? Everyone looks the fucking same.
Apart from you.
Right.
You
so well, I was the only guy there.
Because I knew what you were going to wear as well. If you could have asked me what you were going to wear, I would have said the dirty washed out black chinos that he's had for about 5 years. Did you wear them?
Yeah.
Yeah. And some sort of merino knitwear.
Yeah, I did. Knitwear. Exactly knitwear was on. Yeah. Knitwear was... Do you know why
now,
I wore that?
What I didn't see was I didn't see the footwear choice. But I'm going to say it's the Russell and Bromley Chelsea boots that were tan at one point. Yeah. And have now, I'll tell you how bad they are. Sam and Zara actually had a suitcase stolen, right, from outside their house about 18 months ago. And they took most of the good stuff out and left the boots. But Sam was so happy about this. He's had them, I would say, 5 years?
No, seven.
Seven years.
Yeah, they're still my go-tos.
And honestly, update that shit, man.
No, absolutely not. They're my go-tos, love them.
But they are absolutely
fucked. But there was a reason
your
behind
boots,
the outfit,
in
by
fact,
the way.
The boots and the suede look the same as my skin in that fucking caricature.
There was a reason behind the outfit, though, but behind the knitwear, the chinos and the shoes.
Yeah, it's your go-to.
Well, no, it was also because, like, I was aware that we were going into the lion's den of influencers, right? Everyone was going to be wearing all the sort of, like, you know, the fake eyelashes and the fake tan and all this kind of stuff, right? And I was like, okay, I'm going to wear a little bit of me, you know? I'm not going to conform to influence
a style. But that isn't a little bit of you, because if you want a little bit of you, and this is what I mean, this is sometimes what makes me laugh about you, Sam, is you're full of shit. Because that isn't a bit of you, because if it had been a bit of you, you would have worn a pair of stained shorts, basketball shorts, with some dirty socks and Crocs.
Another Croc.
Yep. And probably that black essentials hoodie that has actually turned, it's basically tie-dye now because there's some sort of bleach all over it. That would have been if you'd gone as a bit of you. But actually what you didn't do, you thought, well, I'll go sort of semi-smart.
Yeah, it's because I feel smart casual. Like, well, I don't know what people are wearing nowadays.
But the problem is you haven't shopped for anything smart casual for about 7 years.
I don't like shopping.
We've been shopping.
No, I know. That was so fun.
It was awful when we went shopping.
That's like 3 years ago now.
And we will never go again.
No, don't say that.
We will never go again because everything I picked up, Sam went, "Do you like that?" And I went, "Yeah." So we bought it.
But that's the point.
No, I liked it for me.
Yeah, but then that means it would look good on me.
Why? Because we're so similar.
No, because we like the same shit and we're brothers. And what you wear, I wear.
No, we don't.
Pete bought me a pair. No, not bought me. Told me to buy a pair of YSL Yves Saint Laurent jeans, and they're fucking flares. And I haven't worn them since.
They're not flares.
They were £300.
I
haven't worn them once.
They're not flares, all right? They just weren't a fucking skin-tight jegging that you like to wear.
Jegging.
All right. And the boots you've not worn. They were an update.
It's because they hurt.
Because you have to wear them in.
Yeah, but I don't understand. How can you wear in something when it hurts instantly?
Mate, it's really, really simple. You just have to wear them in short, sharp bursts until your foot gets used to it and it molds the leather around it. Anyway, that's...
short, sharp bursts.
It's pathetic. So anyway, so Sam ended up spending about £1,500 that day. He's never worn any of it. Just never worn any of it. None of
just
it.
Sat in my
absolutely
wardrobe.
Nothing.
So for the radio show that I'm on, I interviewed Jamie Lee Curtis. She is, you know, Jamie. So she basically, have you ever heard of the Halloween films? So Halloween, the franchise, the guy with wears the mask and walks around fucking stabbing people. You've never watched Halloween? Oh my God. So anyway, basically, I'm interviewing Jamie Lee Curtis. I'm about to go in. She's in my studio. And
sorry, it's your studio?
Yes.
Yeah, so, one that your daddy built you? Or
no, in the radio centre.
Oh, so it's in the radio
studio. It's in the radio centre, but she's in the studio. She's getting interviewed in the studio that I normally work in, right? And then they go, Sam, you're up. I was like, oh no. So I walked in with my little notes and I was like, and she had written, I'd done a bit of research, Pete, and she had written on her Twitter like a couple of days prior, and she was like, I don't understand why people pre-drink anymore, because like, isn't the party enough? Why do you have to pre-drink or then like go
to an
after party?
She sounds like a barrel of laughs.
Well, anyway, I started my interview trying to sort of break the ice and was like, hey, do you know what? I'm going to tell you why we pre-drink, actually. Reason being is because it's cheaper, and also...
Because it is something you worry about in the £3 million house that you live in.
So anyway, I go, it's cheaper, and the club, when you get to the club, let's be honest, like you lose people, like, you know, it's not as fun. The pre-drink's normally the most fun. Anyway, I say all of that stuff and she turns around to me and she goes, yeah, it's all well and good, but I'm sober. And like looked me dead in the eye without any sort of like, she just stopped. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to say. And so I went, so am I.
I knew it. I knew you'd do that. I could have told everyone that that's exactly what you were going to do.
She went, I'm sober. And I went, same.
Yeah. Because you're that guy. Yeah, no, listen, the reason we pre-drink is because it's cheaper and you want to get, you know, the drinks back. I'm sober, me too. Never pre-drink.
Never done it in my life.
I don't understand.
She goes, what? Her whole demeanor changed. She was like, oh my God, you're sober. And I went, yes, I am digging this hole. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
So you lied.
And she goes, oh my God, that like means so much. Like, why are you sober? And I went, because my girlfriend doesn't drink, so I don't want to either. It's a complete lie. And then she goes,
well, of course it is. The whole thing's a lie. I'm surprised you didn't go, because I've got a mate who's a drunk and he's put me off drinking.
And then, well, that would be more true. And then she goes, how long have you been sober for? And I went,
that's 3 or 4 minutes.
I went, 10 years.
10 years. You said you'd not drunk for 10 years.
And she looked at me and went, do you know what? And I went, oh my God, what? And she goes, you are the nicest boy I've ever met. And I was like, oh no. The liars are consuming me. And we had the best interview ever. But it was so bad.
Yeah, but it was false because you lied to...
She even gave me her ring. She went, you need to propose to your girlfriend right now. Use my ring. Here you go. It's for all sober people out there. And I went, yes, for all sober people. What else can I do? Jamie Lee Curtis, mate. You can't like...
Firstly, I don't know who the fuck that is. I mean, listen...
Big TV star.
Hold on. Let's just point out. If it was big, big, big... I mean, this is someone that's just done a series of films that no one's ever heard of. But if it was like Denzel Washington, you'd semi-understand it. So you've got your first hint of Hollywood and just become a completely different person.
Yeah. Sober 10 years, mate. I've now got to hold that. For a while.
But if she looks on your Instagram, if you got on so well and you're the nicest guy she's ever met, and now me and Jamie and Lee Curtis are friends, she's going to look on your Instagram and watch you absolutely fucked on your birthday.
Well, I mean, look, I lied for the greater good because we got a really good interview out of it, to be fair. So
yeah, on false pretenses, yeah.
Yeah. I actually also had a bit of a staying relevant moment yesterday. I had a meeting where they always beat this out. I had a meeting with at to do with this voiceover thing, right? And I'm having this meeting and she's only got a short amount of time to be there, right? The meeting's going well at the start. And then I go, do you know what? I just loved the edit of, we were talking about you actually. And I was like, I love the edit of SAS Who Dares Wins.
Why would you talk about a Channel 4 show to...
I don't know. I panicked. And then I started going, you know, it was so funny because it cut, like the cut between Pete in the chat beforehand being like, I would never punch a girl, I'd never hit a girl, and then it jump cuts to Pete battering a girl and then doing a sucker punch when she turns around. I realised that she'd never watched it. And I was laughing. She was like, why are you laughing about Pete punching a girl? So and she got up and left.
So I just want to confirm then. So actually what you did was you went to a meeting with one of the biggest commissioners there and told her that I beat up women.
Yeah, mate. And then she got up and left. And I was like, no, don't go.
Right. I mean, listen, yeah. I'm all for people doing well, but when you have to fucking slag off all your mates just to get fucking jobs and make sure no one ever works with them again because they think you're a fucking woman abuser. People are now calling me Trevor from EastEnders.
Who's that?
So excellent. So your stories are completely changed for someone Hollywood and then slagged all your mates off to get a job. So your stories, great. This is actually a perfect example of staying relevant because it's someone that will do anything to be famous and get there. And that's you. It's
what
weird that because then yesterday afternoon I also had a job got cancelled, which is very strange. I'm not entirely sure why. I wasn't entirely sure what had happened, but they just said extenuating circumstances have arisen that we, you know, we can't move forward with this job. I didn't realise it was because evidently I think I kicked the shit out of women all over the place. But moving on.
You did sucker punch it though.
I did, to be fair. I did.
However, you're actually dressed a bit like a DS today.
Lovely lady though. Me and Jen Ellison, very good friends. I do love Jen actually. She's one of my favourite people, innit? So, sidebar of shame. This is always my favourite part of this podcast because it's just full of wallies, isn't it? Really?
I love it.
I mean, you are part of the sidebar of shame.
I live and breathe it.
Well, of course you are because you went to an event for absolutely no reason other than the fact that you just wanted to be around a load of people on Love Island.
Yeah, I did.
So when we talk about people that go to the opening of an envelope, you have turned into that person this week.
I'm the envelope, mate, and I loved it. Dude, can I tell you something? Davide smelt so good, I cannot tell you.
Yeah.
He smelt unbelievable.
Of what?
Well, I don't know. He didn't tell me what it was, but it was fucking great. And he had doused himself in it.
Right.
I couldn't stop smelling him. It was a bit weird. We gave him flowers and a card. Yeah, it was so cute. So I was actually like, well done. I'm so happy for you. And then I gave her the flowers. And they actually, as we walked in, they tried to take the flowers. And I was like, no. I want to give them to her, please. And so I gave them to her in the flesh. So my sidebar of shame, this is a big one. Big story here. Pete, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Close coincidence. Love Island fans spot bitter feud between Gemma Owen and Tasha Guri as model makes very pointed statement.
Go on, what happened then?
Yeah. Well, basically, Love Island fans are convinced they've spotted a bitter feud between Gemma Owen and Tasha from Love Island.
When we do this sidebar of shame, are all of yours going to be Love Island
related? Yeah, I love it. I'm here for it.
Excellent. So we should just call it the Love Island bar of shame.
Yeah. But do you know why? Because of a blazer.
Right.
Because of a blazer. And eagle-eyed fashion lovers spotted the design of one item. So basically, Pretty Little Thing have strongly denied claims that they've copied the style from a smaller designer. Tasha posts a snap of herself wearing that exact design. So her followers are like, are you digging out Gemma?
What I find funny about this is that the followers are believing that Gemma, what's the other bird called?
Tasha.
Gemma and Tasha have designed any of these clothes themselves.
Do you not think they have? Gemma, definitely. When they do the PLT edit, they must do.
No, it's an edit.
What does that mean?
Okay, so that means the clothes are already there and they pick the ones that they like.
Shut up.
They're already made. Unless you are the bird, the supple duff now.
Molly Mae.
Right.
Duff. Congratulations, by the way, Molly Mae.
Yeah, lovely.
God, have they done well with their video? Did you watch the video? God, it made me cry.
Right. So, I know, because obviously the first thing you thought of that was, I know I can make a video out of this.
Did you not get emotional when you watched their video?
I haven't watched it. I don't follow any of them people.
Oh, my God. Can I show you?
No, Sam. So when you do an edit with like a clothing company,
oh my God.
That basically means you've just picked out from the range the different bits that you semi-think are all right. She's not designed, neither of them designed any of that. The clothes would have already been there for them to go, I like that, I like that, I like that. So actually, the feud is completely nothing to do with them. They probably just like the same thing, which actually should make them closer.
So actually, it's just people picking out what they like. I thought they like went to the drawing board and
No,
stuff.
That's if you design a range,
oh.
Then that's completely different. If you have an edit with something, it means that you have edited what it is already there. So you've gone, I like that, I like that, I like that. So call that the Gemma,
Gemma Owen.
Gemma Owen range.
Yeah.
Whereas if she's actually sat there, because to actually design a range, you have to do it a season or two in front. So that would mean that she would have had to done it before, because you wouldn't be able to design a range, get it made and ready for that season.
So what does Molly May do as creative director of PLT?
So she probably will be involved in, well, she definitely will be involved in all the designing of all the ranges, but they'll be working on, for example, we're coming into winter, but they'll be designing for spring, summer and summer.
Ah.
So she'll be doing the designing for that now because they would have done the autumn, winter back in spring, summer. So you design for seasons ahead. Right. So these people coming off Love Island going, you know, I've designed this and I've done, you ain't done dick because the lead times on that take so long. So they would have already been there and you'd have gone, yeah, no, I like that. Yeah, is that great? Yeah, I like it. Yeah, that's basically what they've done. So all they've actually done is like the same thing. So actually, that should make them closer.
Well, yeah, but I don't like that. I like the feuds, mate. I like the feuds.
Yeah, but they're all made up.
Oh, no. What about this one? Paige and Adam Collard. Do you think that was legit? You know, you're the reality TV connoisseur, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen any of these shows, so that's a completely weighted and bullshit.
All right, let me give you a little bit of backstory. So Adam Collard, right, he comes back onto Love Island to huge acclaim. Everyone's like, yes, okay, we're going to... Because when the first time he was on Love Island, he was like an absolute, like, just weapon. He'd go around and just, like, breeze through every single couple there. And he was, like, very good TV. So everyone's like, yes, he's going to come back. He's going to be amazing. But he came back as, like, this reformed guy, basically. And he was like, no, I'm like this new guy. I really like Paige. Like, let's be boyfriend and girlfriend. Like, I'm older, wiser, more mature. And I think he kind of came back and was trying to be like, sort of reinvent himself almost, right? Do we think that in that villa, not that you care, but do you think that was legit?
No.
There you go. You had it first, Pete Wicks. No.
I don't think any one of these villas is legit. No one's doing it actually to you know, find someone like Alex and Olivia Bowen, who actually did find each other and had a kid and do all that sort of stuff.
Molly May and Tommy.
They got, yeah, them people. They've got lucky and actually potentially found someone, but I can guarantee, I mean, Molly May was an influencer before she went in there.
Mm.
So she was just doing that to boost her fucking Instagram and all the rest of it, which is fair, which is fine. But you'd rather people just go and say that. Collard, who I'll go and pretend to be a nice guy because I'm a little bit too old to be that guy.
Yeah. Oh, you think it's an age thing. So he's like, I can't now be the Lothario.
I don't know how old he is, but that's kind of the way I see dating shows that I do now. but it's probably done his little gym thing. She's you know.
So it's like a business transaction.
Well, she's done herself well, hasn't she?
Yeah. It works for both of them.
Yeah, exactly.
They've probably had an agreement.
Don't get me wrong. They probably had a little bit of fingering and light sex in between just to fucking make the deal a lot sweeter. But at the end of the day, it was a fucking business decision, probably on both parts.
I love that. That's such an insight. I didn't even think of that.
It's very rare that anyone goes on these shows and actually meets someone that you can consider a lifelong partner. And it has happened, don't get me wrong, it has happened a few times where you actually believe a genuine couple. But the majority of time, and the majority of couples that you see on Instagram pretending to be fucking great, are full of shit. Because if you actually, and listen, I'm not a grass, so I'm not going to start digging people out. However...
I am a grass. So if I know who Pete's talking about, I'm going to tell you.
However, you know, there's a lot of couples that do things behind closed doors that everyone knows about, that people don't talk about, that are not what couples should be doing.
What are you saying now?
However, if you see them on Instagram, you would think, oh my God, I just want a bit. They are couple goals. No.
And what, they don't even like each other?
No, a lot of them don't like each other. And a lot of people, they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing.
Do I know who they are?
I'm sure there's people that you know.
Wow, this is amazing.
It's quite funny. So the point of this is, don't believe everything you see on Instagram. Not everything is great. Not everything is the way you think it is. And not everything's a fucking fairy tale.
Oh, God, that's coming from Matt. God, I tell you what, you really right now are matching that fucking caricature of yourself. That was the most cynical thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
It's fucking true, though. It is fucking true.
That is
true.
So good. That's my sidebar of shame. That's what I have to offer you.
Well, how about we go into some of the shows that are gearing up at the minute?
Yes, I love it.
First one, Strictly.
Yes.
The point being is the renowned Strictly curse.
Ah, the Strictly curse.
Do you believe in it?
Yes, I do.
So, because I was actually speaking to Zara the other day and she would love to do Strictly. Specifically, she told me that. You know that. So what I want to get is just an insight into how you would feel about Zara doing Strictly because of the Strictly curse. Because it is well known, and if you don't know what the Strictly curse is, it basically means that everyone's wife or husband that goes on it fucks their dance partner or someone within that area. And a lot of marriages have failed and a lot of relationships have fallen down because of the Strictly curse. So Zara, we love Zara. I love Zara. Yeah. Zara is a great person. You evidently love Zara. How would you feel about her doing Strictly?
I'd love it. and absolutely love it. Mate, talk about staying relevant. Get me in that studio now with a banner.
Yeah.
With a banner.
And this is another...
I would actually get invited, Pete.
You can get invited anyways.
No, you can't. How are you going to get there?
I've been asked to go to Strictly.
Have you?
Yes.
No way. Shut up.
Anyway... God, you're so easily pleased. Just another point. You're really letting yourself down today.
Why?
Because that's another thing. How would you feel? I've just asked you how you would feel about the Strictly curse and Zara doing it. And you went with, it would be great staying relevant. Imagine the career move for us.
No, not like that.
The third thing today of your desperation to just be fucking famous.
I want to be invited to the
studio.
Forget
that. The fact is, the Strictly curse, which was the point of this, is how would you feel about it? Would it make you feel uncomfortable? Because I know a lot of people say they don't and all the rest of it. And listen, I'm not saying Zara would be doing anything or whatever else. However, it's got to be a worry in the back of your head, surely.
No.
And vice versa, if you did it for her, you know, it's not just the women, it's the guys as well.
No, because I think that it's a bit different nowadays because it's like everyone knows it's a Strictly curse. Do you know what I mean? So it's like...
That almost makes it more of a thing.
Do you think?
Yeah, because then everyone looks into everything you do, and then sometimes when you accuse people of things so much, they end up just doing it anyway.
Yeah, that does actually law of attraction, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's almost made it worse, I think.
Yeah, but I don't care. I just think it'd be really cool. I wouldn't want her to do anything, obviously. She wouldn't do anything. I know she wouldn't.
No, I'm not saying that she would, but I'm just saying it's one of them things where anyone that was doing it, they must, because that's the first thing that gets asked.
Well, I suppose you just got to sort of bring a banner. Do you know what I mean? Like, what can you do? Like, you just turn up and you just be as supportive you can and just fucking cross your fingers and toes at the whatever Italian stallion they're mounting every week just isn't, hopefully he's gay.
That is the exact response that someone needs to say in an interview. Because when people get, that's exactly what I was looking for there, Samuel. Well done. Because generally, when you see the partners of people, whether their husband or wife are in there, and they go, "This Strictly curse you are," and they go, "Oh, not at all. No, it never happened." Cut to 3 months later, can't believe they fucked him. So actually,
just fucking hope for the best.
There we go. That's what we want.
And just sort of, but do you know what it is? It's the close proximity of bodies.
And listen,
like, it's the I imagine
it's a very sexual thing.
It's the energy. Right, like even I was talking to Fleur about it, and she was like, you spend all of your time with this person, and like, you know, when you spend that amount of time with anybody, you know, you get to know the personal side of people, and then because your bodies are thrust up together, and you know, then that energy is like, so not only are you getting to know each other on a really personal level, but then like the energy's there, and you're sort of, you know, then you're bumping sheets. What would you do? What would you do if your missus, if you got, God forbid you ever got a missus?
Yeah, I mean, if I, what, and she did Strictly?
Yeah.
I'd probably fuck someone anyway, just in case, and have it as backup.
That is the most toxic thing you could ever do. But I bet so many people would.
No, I'm joking.
Just to have it in the back pocket, be like, well, I did it first.
Yeah, no, I'm joking. Same as you, to be honest. You've just got to hope that it don't happen. But I imagine it puts loads of pressure on anyway, like any couples doing it, because people will just talk about
that. Oh, yeah. In the press, you're like, oh, my God.
It's not even just in the press. It's imagine, like, you know, you go out your mates, even like I've just done it there and go, oh, yeah, Strictly curse. It would play in your head. No matter any couple that does or where one of them does it now, you can guarantee everyone's going to go Strictly curse.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it must just make things really awkward. So actually, I feel quite bad for anyone that's in a couple. They should just make it single Strictly.
No, because it's not as fun, because it's quite fun knowing that it could happen.
Yeah, no, I love reading about
so
it.
So do I, love it. I love it.
I like reading about it. I've never actually watched Strictly. Would you do it? Oh, itchy arsehole.
No, it's...
Didn't wipe properly this morning.
No, I've got a hemorrhoid.
I think it might be a good place to stop today's podcast.
No, we can't finish it on that.
I'll be honest with you,
we can't finish it on that.
We are pretty much there, so...
No.
On that note, guys, thank you for listening to Staying Relevant with myself and Sam. If you have enjoyed listening
to... Was that too much?
Very much so, too much. If you have enjoyed listening today, then please subscribe. That would be fabulous. Rate 5 stars and leave a review. You can follow us on all socials, which is Staying Relevant Podcast on Instagram, and then Sam's Instagram and my Instagram. If you don't already follow us, please do.
Yeah. Don't give us 1 star. We know where you live.
We don't know where you live.
We could know where you live, possibly.
We are going to keep trying to get some guests for you, so you don't have to just listen to us waffle on. But in the meantime, if you could just put up with us, that would be fucking great. So, see you all next time. Sam is off to wipe his bleeding, piley arsehole.
Yeah, we can't finish it like that.
I think we can.
Love and hugs.
Love, hugs and piles. Ta-da.
How's your bum?
Fine.
Well, I got myself a Japanese loo.
I know it's just you and I here, but you know other people will listen to this. You do understand how this works. You sure? Insanity Group.